This piece was brought to you by Roberta's, robertaspizza.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. We're a member-supported food radio network broadcasting over 35 weekly shows live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. Join our hosts as they lead you through the world of craft brewing, behind the scenes of the restaurant industry, inside the battle over school food, and beyond. Find us at heritageradionetwork.org.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll load. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil runs his groove in them rhythm and blues. That's him. It's gonna get you some in the end.
Welcome back to The Speakeasy. I'm Damon Bolte.
And my name is Souther Teague.
Buddy.
Welcome.
How you doing? You?
It's been a while.
I know.
We had like back-to-back, each of us was missing weeks.
Yeah.
It's all right.
Well, now the listeners know that. There was studio magic.
Yeah, there's always studio magic.
Pre-recorded some shows.
Live from the future.
I was in San Francisco last week.
Hell yeah.
And man, had a great time.
It's a great town to have a great time in. What'd you do?
I had all the food and all the drinks, and it was really great. Got to meet some really cool people. Got to see some old friends. You know, we've been working on the bar here in the studio.
Hell
and
yeah.
Got to hang out with my really dear friend, Amanda Womack, who works for Jägermeister.
Oh,
and,
yes.
So we got a really nice mixing glass
for the studio.
Thank you, Amanda. Let's get that. Yay.
The bar is coming together.
Yeah. Got to hang out at Comstock, and my buddy Pip gave me a really cool Fernet Branca pin. Our buddies from Infinium out there actually ran into me at ABV. Gave me a San Francisco Fernet Branca coin. I got to hang out at one of my favorite places. This is my like third time going there. Have you ever been to Leo's Oyster Bar?
No, but I was watching your Instagrams.
Yeah, man. So I want to just give a quick shout out to them. It was really cool. We were hanging out there. Our friend from Island Creek Oysters spotted me there.
Mm-hmm.
And she sent us some extra stuff from the ocean. That was cool. And then
delights from the sea.
Delights from the sea.
Fruit de mer.
Yeah.
That means fruits from the sea.
And then yeah.
Yes.
So then we were at Leo's Oyster Bar, and it was just like one of the nicest experiences. I mean, obviously, you know, you go to Tadich Grill and you have the Chipino, and I love going to see Shanti over at the House of Shields.
Mm-hmm.
You know. But then we were hanging out at Leo's, and they were just really great people. Brandy, the manager, was super nice. Armando, the waiter. One of the bartenders, Guy, he came in. Like, he heard that I was hanging out there, and he listens to the show.
Hell
and
yeah, he does.
So he came in on his day off and made us a round of shots. Like, made us some snackeries.
That's awesome.
I was like, what the hell's going on here, man? And so it was like a really cool experience. Got to record some music with the band.
Hell yeah, brothers.
John Vanderslice. Yeah, it was like a really great experience. Got a couple of new songs, so maybe we'll switch up the theme song for the show.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, but it's a good time. What have you been up to, man?
I've just been working, man. I hesitate to say it, but yesterday was sort of the deadline for all of the book stuff. So we had the final photo shoot at Amore Margo in the daytime. We had the photographer, Eric Metzger, stay over a little bit later and go into opening. So he got some sort of action shots of the bar filling up with people. So hopefully the bulk of it's behind me. I know that I said the deadline was yesterday, but so I didn't quite get everything in. But from here on out, it's pretty much just editing, polishing, and packaging.
Nice.
So that's a huge sort of relief to get that off my shoulders. And then, you know, there's fantastic new projects in the works.
Are you going to, like, when you finish with this book project, are you going to just, like, throw your iPhone in the East River and
maybe symbolically, you know, maybe I'll press the button for live recording on Instagram stories so you can see it hurdle itself into the river.
Nice.
That'd be cool.
All right, man. I look forward to that.
Yeah.
Hey, well, why don't you introduce our guest today?
Sure. Today's show, we're going to talk about Haitian rums with Katie Perry. Hey, Katie, welcome to the studio.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Good to see you. Also in the studio is our dear, dear friend, Kimmy Winkler. She's just hanging out, but she might chime in from time to time and tell us a little bit about cachaça. Hi, Kimmy.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. Katie, what's going on? How are you? You just recently moved to New York City.
Yeah, I did. I just moved here from Seattle back in November, so I'm going on 5 months here.
Now, Seattle is a great town, and there's a ton of cool stuff going on out there. What would make you say, I mean, other than New York is the coolest town, what would make you say, I'm going to bounce out of Seattle and move to New York?
Working for the company that I'm working for now, I have the honor and the privilege of bringing Clairen, Haitian moonshine into the country for the first time.
Haitian moonshine. That sounds pretty rad. So they're the ones who brought you over, or that convinced you to move over at least?
Yeah, basically. So I was in Seattle for 12 years, the last 6 of which working for a rum bar called Rumba.
Heard of it? Been there?
Fell in love with rum. This company was sort of the unicorn stuff that I was always trying to get my hands on, and then they decided to launch in the U.S., so...
Yeah, this stuff was like highly anticipated by all the rum nerds.
Yeah.
Like, I have a few rum nerdy friends, and like, this was a big deal. Like, when you launched here, like, Martin Kate came to town, Ed Rudisill and Arthur Black from Shift Drink Podcast, who are friends of yours as well, they came to town.
All the friends.
Like, Cocktail Wonk came to town.
Yep.
Like, that was it was a big deal.
Yeah.
Nerds. Nerds come out of the woodwork when you when you offer them something to come out of the woodwork for.
Rum nerds are the best.
So let's before we start talking about what you're doing now here in New York City with Clairen, tell us about like how you got to where you were in Seattle and what you were doing over there and what like how did you nerd out? What got you here to our studio?
What got I here? I went to college in Denver. I studied archaeology and geology. Moved to Seattle right after college. Got a job in a bar. Working a Spanish place.
So many stories begin on our show.
Realized I wasn't doing much with archaeology or geology.
What got you into that in the first place?
I grew up watching Indiana Jones.
Yeah, man. Why else would you want to do that?
Right? Realized that really looked like sitting in an office writing grant proposals until maybe I could be a professor's assistant someday. So screw that. Wanted to.
Do you own a whip?
No, I should. I should get a whip.
For sure.
I think that's what really, like...
That's what set him apart.
That solidifies Indiana Jones.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you're looking at a bunch of dudes who are, like you just said, sitting at a desk writing grants, you're like, well, we got this thing we need done. Who do you pick? Oh, that guy's got a whip.
Yeah.
That guy, for sure.
Yeah.
She's got a bunch of rum.
That's the accessory you need.
You have to have an affectation of some sort.
But yeah, I started working in a little Spanish bar in Seattle, fell in love with Sherry. The owner decided to open up a rum bar. I knew nothing about rum, so I went to the Caribbean for a couple of weeks, hung out, visited islands. The best thing to do if you go to the Caribbean and visit an island is to show up and say, hey, I heard that you guys make the best rum. And they say, oh, yes, we do. Come with me. I'll show you everything.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
I'll show you everything. Here it comes. Okay, let's back up just a little bit. Sherry, I was just drinking sherry with lunch.
Yes.
I don't even know what I was drinking. Did you notice?
It's all delicious. I didn't notice either.
It is all delicious. Yeah. She was like, try this and see if you like it. And I was like, I like it. It smells great.
It's the best food pairing wine, in my humble opinion.
Sure.
It goes great with everything.
We were at the bar at Roberta's just having some meat and cheese today. Yep. No pizza.
Meat, cheese, and sherry.
Yeah, it was great.
Mm-hmm. It looked like Oloroso from where I was sitting.
Mm-hmm. I didn't even ask. I just said something kind of dry and nutty. It was delicious.
Sounds like Oloroso.
You know, I think it's sherry has had this like struggle, I think, for the past, honestly, several years, right? I feel like
you mean decades.
You think so? I feel like at the end of almost every year for the past 5 or 6 years, the predictions, you know, everyone's prediction, this will be the year of sherry. And it like kind of never seems to happen.
I disagree with that.
Do you?
Yeah, but I also have an oyster bar. So people drink sherry a lot there, you know, in like in small plates. And it's like, but at the same time, it's like, I think the opinion on sherry has changed quite a bit. But again, we always run into this situation where we live in like our little bubbles where like...
Sure, you only see what's right around you and right up in your face. Yeah.
I can't say that everyone in like, you know, Gary, Indiana is drinking sherry.
Or eating oysters.
or Norman, Oklahoma.
Yeah. What do we know about Norman, Oklahoma, Winkler?
That's my hometown. All right. I don't think they're drinking a lot of sherry or eating oysters there.
Yeah, okay. Well, they do eat a lot of steak and potatoes. So you're working for... So I didn't realize that... was it the same guy who opened up... Or lady who opened up Rumba?
Absolutely.
Rumba? Sorry.
Yeah.
So how long were you doing the sherry gig?
I was working for him at the Spanish place for 5 years or so.
And what were you doing at that time? Were you pursuing any archaeology?
No, not at all.
Occasionally, like, kicking rocks over to see if anything's under it?
Pick up a few rocks. No, not at all. But, I mean, I think that sherry shares a lot of traits with rum, and that you think sherry and probably most people would assume it's, you know, the cooking wine,
right?
The kind of low quality, terrible stuff.
Sweet.
And there's this whole big world of sherry out there. The diversity is crazy, and it's really similar in rum.
Yeah, that's an interesting point, I think. And why do you think that we've? Is it just human nature to glom onto the sort of crappiest thing? You know,
maybe.
Because I think people really think of sherry as what you just said, cooking wine, or just powerfully sweet. When that stuff runs the gamut, you can get stuff that is bone dry or stuff that is thick as maple syrup.
I don't think it's that way. Okay, just I want to back up.
Are you just being contrarian today?
No. No, sorry. No, I'm just saying like I think that's a very like American thing to just assume that everything's gonna be sweet because like we fucked everything up back in the day. And like when you think about like, if you think of like the way people drink around the world, like sherry and rum, they're drinking like really good shit. The dry stuff
and lots of it. It's not like there's small production of sherry. There's a lot of sherry being made.
Yeah.
So it's being consumed.
Yeah.
Just not here.
Just not by us.
Yeah.
Not yet.
Well, over at your Grand Army Oyster Bar, it's being consumed.
That's true.
Yeah.
Lots of clearing.
we're getting to that. Cool your jets.
All right. Cool.
Don't give away the secret.
It's all that sugary wine I've been drinking.
I
just jacked on it.
So I didn't mention it, but I will now. I couldn't drink my usual Budweiser. I don't even have one with me in the studio today because I'm on an exclusionary diet. There's a chance that I'm a celiac.
What is that like? Is that an aquatic animal? What's a celiac?
Yeah, that's
is it like a seal.
Yes. Yeah. Did you see The Shape of Water?
No.
Okay, me either. But there are celiacs in it. No, I have, it's...
What's the difference between a celiac and a walrus?
the tusks.
Tusks, okay.
Yeah.
Wait, so what is it? Tell me.
Celiac, it's a gluten allergy.
That's bullshit. It does not exist. Are you also allergic to peanuts?
Yeah.
Yeah, bullshit.
Maybe.
Are you allergic to cardboard?
Kimmy, do you have your EpiPen? Kimmy, do you have your EpiPen?
I do. I have it.
All right. Kimmy's got her EpiPen. Right. She's allergic to bee stings.
I am too.
And
is that an oaky thing?
She's also allergic to shellfish. She doesn't like people to know, but I just told everybody.
Wow, you blew her.
But the weird thing, okay, don't mean to get away from you, Katie. The show's about you. But the weird
what are you allergic to?
But the weird thing is, as a former chef and a current bar operator and a person who serves people things that they consume, I'm and Kimmy, you work in this field, not in the same capacity as we do, but I'm super concerned about people's allergies, and I need and want to know so that I can better take care of you. But you and I, when we go out to lunch or dinner or things like that, you refuse to tell people things you're allergic to, so you'll just get served stuff and then just not touch it.
Well, it's a little bit embarrassing. Sometimes they make like a little bit of a spectacle of it, and I get embarrassed.
Nobody makes a spectacle.
Yes, they do.
No, but they don't come out parading with a bullhorn saying, "This woman's allergic to shrimp. Don't bring her any shrimp." They just quietly don't bring you any shrimp.
Well, and you don't want to be the annoying.
You know,
like
so
everybody's
you don't
like
puff up like a blowfish and die.
True. That's what the EpiPen is for.
How many times have you had to use it?
Never. And somebody else would have to do it. I couldn't do it myself. Somebody would have to stab me.
You're afraid to do it?
Oh my! Yes.
Even if you were puffing up like a blowfish,
I would hand it directly to you.
Yeah, I'd do it.
Yes.
I'd stab you right in the face.
Oh, that's mean.
You're saving your life.
You're covered up right now. You got like a cape on. There's no exposed skin.
It's in the leg. You're supposed to do it in the leg, FYI, for future.
I'd go for the jugular. Anyway, so there's a chance. Hopefully it's not the case, but I'm having some issues, and they think maybe this could be part of it or whatever. It's whatever. So I didn't have a beer or a pizza today at Roberta's. Not the worst thing. I could... You know, probably help
it
me.
It feels like a very strange day.
Might help me shed a bit of weight. Anyways, I gained a lot of weight after the stupid accident.
What, the bicycle accident?
The bicycle accident.
When you broke your humerus?
Yeah, not as funny as it sounds.
Ah, there we go.
Oh, Dave, that was your opportunity. There it is. Okay, back to Katie.
What were we talking about?
We were talking about... we were talking about sherry, and we're soon going to talk about rum.
Okay, so yeah. Let's do that. Let's talk about that then.
Well, let's wrap up sherry. So you worked there for that 5 years.
Yeah.
That's a long... I mean, that's enough time to become an expert. Do you feel expert in the field of sherry?
No. We were just talking about this. Yeah. I don't like this word expert. Because it means it connotates that you know everything.
No, it doesn't mean you know everything, but it means you know more than you know, you're definitely above average.
I think enthusiast is the right word. Yeah. That means there's a continued education.
Right. Because when you learn a little bit, you realize how much.
I think an enthusiast is someone who's, yeah. I think an enthusiast is someone who's sitting at the bar and very enthusiastic, but you're the person who's still guiding that person. You're the, okay, you want to be the sherry guide? You're the expert. You're the expert. Take it. You know more than the average bear. Smarter than the average bear.
But when you learn a little bit, you realize how much there is to learn.
Of course, a little knowledge is a dangerous thing.
Yes.
That's the exciting part. Flip over one rock, and then you find yourself in a cave, man.
Flip over one rock. Flip over one rock, and you think you're some kind of archaeologist? Show me your whip. And your dusty hat. So you became something of a.
I liked sherry a lot. I drank a lot of sherry.
All right. Yeah. Well, that's good. Yeah. And then who's you haven't said it. Do you not want to say who the owner was?
Oh, his name's Travis. He's great.
So cool. Yeah. You're working with Travis and you become somewhat of an authority. How about that? You're an authority.
Sure.
Authority on sherry. Fine. And Travis obviously must have an affinity for sherry. He opened a sherry bar.
No, he hates it.
That I love, because, by the way. Yeah, I love that. When people open businesses that they don't like, they're usually kind of the best. Was it a great place?
It was great. Yeah. Exactly. He was in college in Australia and drank like the cheap cooking sherry with his roommate. Drank a whole bottle of the stuff.
Just like slamming super Marsala. Six.
Yeah. Slamming Marsala. And he won't touch it. So I got to drink it all.
What made him open this? Okay. Get him on the show. We'll reach out to my assistant. We'll get him on the show, Travis. So you became an authority on sherry, and then this guy opens a rum bar, and he said, hey, why don't you come work at the rum bar?
Yeah.
And you took that chance.
Yeah,
You decided not to remain comfortable in a five-year position. 5 years is a long time.
Yeah.
Well, good for you. So you're an adventurer. You're an archaeologist at heart.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I think it's important to note that kind of tenure, you know, at any industry.
That's what I'm trying to stress. That's a long time.
Yeah, I worked for him for 10 years.
Yeah,
I worked for him for 10 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's like, it's kind of unheard of these days, you know, because, I mean, it's really exciting times that we live in. There's like so many new places popping open and everything. And a lot of like newer bartenders want to like jump to the next spot and like check out like how people are operating this way. And maybe eventually they're trying to like open up their own spot and they're wanting to get as much like game time as they can. But it also says
you lose a little something. Yeah.
You lose something. Like
there's plenty to be gained for that, but there's also something you miss.
Yeah.
And it's that consistency, that regularity. That
I was at Prime Meats for 9 years.
What do you call that? Is it slightly bored?
And all my regular customers come to see me at my bar now.
Yeah, hell yeah, they do. Why wouldn't they?
Exactly.
9 years. That's unheard of. Five is.
But I have customers for life now because of that.
But
you know?
Katie says she worked for this guy for a total of 10 because she left. You call it the Spanish place. Did it have a name?
It was called Tango.
She left Tango and she moved to
Tango Rumba.
Adorable,
Tango,
right?
I love that.
I like it too. It's like the guys who have Bua and the Wren and the Eastwood and the Dancer now, like all the bird names. Okay, well, we're going to take a quick break and hear from our sponsors here at Heritage Radio Network. We're going to come right back with Kate Perry from, I don't know how to pronounce it.
Velier.
See, you always like, you go with the different act. I thought you were going to go Velier.
I thought I was.
You were going to go.
Because Hades, it's French, right?
Yeah, it's an Italian company, though. So you pronounce the R. Yeah.
Si, claro.
Claro. All right. Si, Claren.
Claren.
Okay, we'll be right back.
Super duper awesome place. Roberta's is a very, 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 very proud sponsor of the Heritage Radio Network. We're also super awesome. Thank you, Heritage.
I love that commercial.
Thank you, Roberta's.
Brandon away, y'all. So we are back, and you are listening to the Speakeasy on Heritage Radio Network. We are, you know, speaking of like the...
I'm cutting up limes on our new bar.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, like, we've been asking our buddies to drop by or send us, like, some stuff so we can, like, put together our bar here in the studio. Currently, Souther is cutting up limes on the table without a cutting board.
We need a cutting board.
We need a cutting board. We should just post a list of needs.
That table can take it, but I'm not sure if it's quite sanitary.
Hey, pal. Hey. It's acid. You know, we should post a list of needs, like our wish list, like you see on on the internet. I'll just say on the internet.
On the internet. Thanks, Grandpa. So,
well, you know, there's a certain set of folks on the internet.
You didn't pluralize it, at
who
least.
Who post their the wish lists.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
We should get it on like one of those like wedding registries.
I was just going to say like a wedding registry. The knot.
Okay, that's it. We're doing that. That's what we're doing instead.
Yeah, perfect. And that way we can have like a deadline date for it. Anyway, so yeah, we are cutting up limes. And what are you mixing up, buddy?
Well, she brought this stuff to make tea punch. This will be our second tea punch on the show.
I love tea punch.
I do too. I don't know why this isn't more
so
popular.
So goddamn simple. You know what it is? I don't think that Americans are used to room temp cocktails.
I always have a Scaffa on the menu at Amore Margo. And it's always both a surprise and typically it's a delight. I think that people just don't know it.
Yeah.
Yet.
Well, so why don't you...
Katie, why don't you tell us what Tea Punch is while I crush it up over here.
Tea Punch is the drink of the French Caribbean. So Martinique, Guadeloupe... Tea punch is how you drink unaged agricole in these islands. So it's just a squeeze of lime, a little bit of sugar, and then rum, usually rum agricole, which is made from fresh pressed sugar cane versus the molasses variant. So it's grassy and earthy and usually got a nice kick to it.
So this is, like, to me, this drink is in the family of the daiquiri and the caipirinha.
Yeah, it's kind of like a deconstructed daiquiri.
Yeah. So
weirdly, I think it's more like an old fashioned, with a bit of juice.
I guess you could say that. Yeah,
it's sugar. Sure. You get some bitterness because I'm mashing the limes in the bottom of this cup with a very hefty swizzle stick. So you get some of the bitterness from the oil and from the pith. A small amount of juice, definitely. Yeah. The sugar becomes a syrup, and then in goes the booze.
You're right.
But it's like it's weird. It's this weird hybrid. It touches a lot of.
Yeah.
I mean, it's simple. It's what you have. You have limes. You have sugar. You have booze. Put it in a glass.
Yeah.
You don't have ice, so drink at room temp.
I mean, when you're in like Guadeloupe or Martinique, when you're at a bar, you can ask for it with ice. You might get like a weird sideways glance, but they'll put a couple of like very small cubes in there.
Yeah, my experience when I was in Martinique was Saint Martin was they would ask me. I would order tea punch everywhere I went down there because that's the thing, and they would ask me every time because I'm obviously from America. You want that with ice. And I'd say no, but still every time they'd bring me ice on the side.
Really?
Almost every time. There was the bar that I went to the most that they did that the first time, but then they saw me come again and they were like, hey, he gets it.
Huh.
Yeah, they'd bring me a little plastic cup of ice on the side.
Oh, man. I like when I was in, when I was in Guadeloupe, it was so fucking hot that I was like, all right, I will take ice. But there's something to be said about the fact that an ambient temperature drink in like a warmer climate, it actually makes more sense for your body, like what's happening.
Literally climatizing the stuff you're taking into your system. Yeah, I agree, 100%. So what are you gonna make this with? So I mashed up the lime and the sugar while you were chatting.
You did all the hard work.
You're doing the heavy lifting. which I heard you open one, then you decided to close it. What happened there? Oh no. Yeah, that's the sound that launched 1,000 ships.
Yes. Yeah, I brought
studio
some,
audience.
I brought some Clairin for us today.
Talk about Clairin and talk about what you're about to pour for us.
So Clairin is the this local spirit of Haiti. So in the entire Caribbean, there's only 49 distilleries making rum. But in Haiti, there's still over 500. So every village has, if it's a small village, maybe they have one distiller. If it's a large, maybe they have 10.
I'm sorry. You said there's 500 distilleries in Haiti?
Over
five. What's the square mileage of Haiti?
Not very big. Yeah. So they drink a lot of Clairin. But it's never been bottled besides these bottles in my hand right now. So it's just for local consumption. So the distiller puts it into a vat or a tank, brings it to the center of the village or the roadside. You want some Clarin, you take your plastic gallon jug, go fill it up.
So it's not dissimilar to like mezcal.
Exactly.
Oaxaca.
Yeah, exactly.
Sure. It's very like the drink of the people.
Exactly. Yeah. It's the ancestral sugarcane spirit. What's interesting is that they still use native varietals because they don't have hybrids there. They still use natural yeast because they don't have selected yeast there. And they have little pot stills that are technology from like 1790 French style. So it's old cognac stills. So this is probably how most of the Caribbean's rum was made in 1790, 1800. Wow. So, I mean, Jamaica had thousands of stills. Martinique had thousands of stills. So it's a taste of the local spirit of Haiti, but it's also a taste of historical rum from pre-1800. So it's...
Very cool.
It's like the grandfather of rum.
Man, that's fucked up. Just blew my mind.
Yeah, I mean, Jamaica became Jamaica, Haiti, or Martinique became Martinique, but the world changed and no one told Haiti.
Right, yeah.
So they still make it in the ancestral way, which is super cool.
That's great.
That is cool.
I think that's like part of the like lore and mystique of like of Clarin, like, and the reason why it's become so like sought after in the bar community recently. Like, it just came into the States, but like I remember.
Well, are you saying that this is the first time it's ever been commercially sold?
It's the first time it's ever been bottled. Yeah,
yeah.
It's never been bottled in glass before. And if you ask the distillers, you know, we're putting it in glass with a label. They don't understand why, because their plastic gallon is bigger, so it's better, right? I mean, they have more liquid. So, yeah, so we've been, or this company has been bottled in Europe for the last 4 years, and we've been only in the U.S. for the last 2-3 months.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jane Warren, our buddy Jan.
Yeah.
He brought me, he doesn't drink, but he still buys and collects spirits. He tastes, you know. Yeah.
He loves Clarin.
He loves it. He brought in, like, I think it was maybe like 2 weeks into opening Grand Army. It was like 3 years ago. He brought all three of these into the bar and tasted me on them. And I was like, what the fuck is this, man? Like, where can I get it? He's like, I brought it back from, I think he brought it back from like Sweden or something.
Yeah. He actually went to Haiti too. He went to go visit all of these distillers.
Cool.
Hang out with them.
When do I get to go?
Man of leisure. Man of leisure. Jan Warren. Yeah. Who knew? He talks himself into anything. Well, pour us a little and let's see what happens.
So we're going to pour this first one into the tea punch.
Yeah.
Cool. And so, are you going to swizzle it a little bit?
I wasn't planning on
it. We got a walele right there.
Walele.
Swizzle it up.
Swizzle it up, man. Nothing really to swizzle here. Don't be shy.
So you got your love for rum working at working at the bar in Seattle.
Yeah.
And how did you hook up with these guys? Oh, sorry. Thank you. How did you hook up with these guys?
You know, I think it's like when you get into anything. You know, you get into chocolate and you like Reese's, and then the more and more you get into chocolate, you start seeking out the kind of interesting, funky flavors. You get into coffee and you're pouring milk and sugar into it, and then you're seeking out like weird Ethiopian stuff. So it's kind of like that with everything. It was like that with me for rum. So the more and more rum you drink, the more interesting, funky flavors you look for. And I found that every rabbit hole you jump down in the rum world, you kind of end up at Velier. So this was always my unicorn company of the stuff I would try to smuggle back in my suitcase from my European trips or from the islands.
I think that's something interesting to note as well. Like when you find something you're extremely passionate about, especially like in this industry, it's like it becomes a like kind of a game in your like world travels, you know?
Yeah.
You have like your trophy case becomes your like your home bar, or like your like case in your bar, you know, like where you find all these like rare things and you're like, holy shit, I love this so much. I can't wait to like go find more stuff like this.
Absolutely.
And like you were saying before, like not being an expert, but being like an advocate for a category and like really just like digging deeper and deeper into it and never really finding the end of it, because that's the excitement of it. It's like you will never know it all.
Yeah, it's the adventure of it.
And this is like such a cool product. I mean, like, but this is, so far, this is the only Clarin that's coming out of Haiti.
Correct.
Pretty cool, right?
It's delicious, first of all. But yes, yeah. What you're saying is true, I think, of all of us, right? Cheers, guys.
Cheers.
What you're saying, I think, is true of all of us, that we find a thing that we really dig within the broader thing of the thing we dig, right? We all dig drinking and sure. alcohol and that whole community building of operating bars or what have you. And then you focus. You get a focus. You know, I'm certainly got a rabbit hole I've gone down. Seems mm-hmm. like I'll never come out of it.
Yeah.
It's because you haven't reached the end of it.
Yeah, and you never will.
Exactly.
And that's the thing. Like, you're never going to reach the end of it in general. And even when you pick a focus, you're never going to reach the end of that either.
Exactly. Like, do you think you'll ever taste all, like, not only over 500 distilleries in Haiti, but who knows how many marks that they make, if they even call them, like, different
no,
marks?
No, they just...
You're never going to taste them all.
No, yeah. Absolutely not, which is so exciting.
Yeah.
500 yeah. distilleries. Even if you did one a day, that would take almost a year.
Yeah. If you could even find them.
If you can find them, exactly.
Almost a year. Come on, pay attention.
I know. I was going to check you in a second. But I was more interested in what she was saying.
So talk to us about clarinet in general then, and then we're sipping on this already. Mine's got a little woodiness to it, only because there are chunks of wood in it from the table that I carved up the lime.
Oh, that's good.
So also on our list of needs, we need a new table.
No, the table's fine. We need a cutting board.
Just a cutting board.
Thanks, Heather.
Shut up, Dave.
Yeah, so... I mean, clarinet is a sugarcane spirit, so it's made from fresh cane juice. They have sugarcane. They have many varietals, over 100 different varietals, growing in polyculture, so it's mixed up with bananas and mango trees. Haiti is a very kind of different country, region to region. So I have three bottles here. One of them comes from the north. It's kind of a big plateau up in the mountains. That's the one in your glass right now, so it's kind of botanical and mountainy. We have one that comes from the south shore, so it's kind of salty, minerally ocean air, because the natural yeast in the air are salty. The sugar cane's growing in a salty climate. And then the third is from deep, deep in the jungle, from this super remote town called Baradera, and it's a wild, funky jungle rum.
Funky jungle rum.
And
that needs to be the name of it.
Yeah.
And also, Baradera. Wild, yeah. Funky jungle rum.
Yeah.
Put that on the label, man.
That's the name of the new Brothers album.
Yeah. Especially if we have another key punch.
Jungle rum. Well, it's delicious. It's funky is right. How does one describe that to someone who's, first of all, to someone who's coming up to you and has never had it before, whether sitting at your bar or not? And second of all, this is the tough one. To someone who's listening to you and can't taste it or smell it right now. For instance, our listeners.
Right. For me, funky is kind of an overripe tropical thing. You see it a lot in like Jamaican rum, pot still rum.
Mm-hmm.
It's like if you're walking through, I don't know if you've ever been to Hawaii and been walking through the forest and there's like passion fruit rotting on the jungle floor. It's that like ripe banana, ripe tropical fruit thing.
Hogo,
yes.
Hello, Hogo. And in the agricole, you also get some really great grassy notes too. So, I mean, it's the soul of the sugarcane varietal. So it's the distillate of the natural sugarcane.
I always feel like when it's like kind of like mid to late summer, and like the South, Kimmy, you'll know what I'm talking about. It's like when it's rained, and then like you mow the lawn, and it's like the grass is wet, and it's like it's so like fragrant, and it's hot as fuck, and it's humid,
yes.
And it's like the smell is like you can actually kind of like see it in the air.
I totally get like, that. That's a great.
You can taste.
You just painted a picture, man.
Yeah, man.
When I grew up in Florida, same thing, right? I had when I was a kid still in high school.
Like that times 100.
We'd mow grass, you know, for people, and in my hometown, it rains every afternoon, midday. So we'd be mowing lawns, and it would be sprinkling or raining while we're mowing the lawn. Yeah, that
absolutely
bright, verdant, green aroma.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But also soil.
And then heat and soil on top of it. Yeah. Amazing. That's very, okay, that's great.
Probably mixed with a little bit of your own sweat.
Oh, sure. This, you know, this natural salinity.
Yeah.
Well, this is delicious and super, you know, the thing about tea punch is it's super easy drinking.
Mm-hmm.
It is, even at, like overproof.
Exactly. Yeah, what is the proof of this one?
This is 54.
Yeah, so 108.
It's not messing around.
Yes,
yeah,
that's not messing around at all.
But that's pretty standard for the islands, especially for something that, like an agricole style, like rum, and they're usually, like, 55?
Yeah, 50, 55 is normal.
Yeah.
T-punch under 50 kind of loses that, the yeah. kick that you want.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's always interesting to me that JM decided to do an 80 proof.
It's only for the American market.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's. I guess that's what we consider standard. That's what we expect here.
Right.
Also, like taxes and shit.
Taxes come into play all the time. But when you lower your proof, you're paying more. That's why.
I know.
Yeah. So it seems, let's let the consumer lower the proof by adding water. That's all you're doing.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Everything should come out as hot as it can.
I don't know, man.
We'll fix it. Everything should come out as hot as it can.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm starting to feel this clarin.
Yeah, actually, this has no water added to any of the process as well. They don't add water to the mash. And they, cool. they bottle it at still proof. So it's off the still into the bottle, which
that's
is super
really cool.
Takes no resting time anywhere?
Nope. It's distilled once into a tank, brought to the Capitol, bottled, done.
Amazing. How did this come to be? If no one's putting this in a glass, as you said, in a glass bottle,
yeah.
How did this come to be?
This came to be with two crazy Italian men. as
yeah, okay,
you mean just two Italian
yeah.
men.
Yeah.
two Italian dudes.
Yeah.
But also, how did two Italian guys get into Haitian rum, which
right?
is a French product?
Yeah.
Like, keep going.
There's a long history there. So this came to be through a gentleman named Luca Gargano. And Daniele Biondi, who's here with me in New York.
Met him, yes.
You've met Daniele. They traveled the Caribbean, Luca, for 30 years or so, and Daniele for a long time as well. They've traveled the Caribbean, been everywhere. And they'd never been to Haiti before. They were writing a book called Atlas de Rum, which was released in Italy. So they were going to take some photos and see Barbancourt. And they got to Haiti and realized that there was over still 500 small shacks producing rum for local consumption, and they just fell completely in love. Went back every couple of months to try more and try more. Met the three distillers that we work with now, and we have a fourth coming out maybe in June or July. So made some relationships with them, figured out the logistics of bottling the stuff from super remote villages. I mean, the first barrel they literally threw in the back of their Jeep and drove it 7 hours to the Capitol.
Jesus.
So now
it's
we
like,
have
this
a
is like frontiersmen of Haitian rum.
Yeah, I actually work for Indiana Jones now, which
yeah.
is I feel
You've
like I've tied
circle,
I've come
yeah.
full circle. I've combined all of my passions into working for these guys. So
that must feel really cool.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It all just came together.
Yeah.
yeah.
So it's great.
The puzzle piece fit right into place. That's spectacular.
Yeah.
I love hearing that.
Like, yeah.
nice.
So you've been working for this company. You moved to New York pretty recently.
Yeah, I just moved here in November for them.
So you started in November, or you had already started when you were over there?
Nope. Started in November, left Rumba, left my life, moved to New York to work for them because they're the best of the best. I mean, they're completely crazy and nerdy and passionate about rum.
Even that sounds pretty, is brave the right word? I don't know. Like, to say to yourself, like, all right, I've got a life here in Seattle. I've worked for the same person for 10 years, 5 years at one place, 5 years at the next. And now I'm just going to pick up and move literally as far across the country as possible. Touch water, basically.
Yep.
What spurred that on? Was it just the belief in this company, the belief in the product, a little bit of both.
Yeah.
Sense
I mean,
of adventure that we just talked about.
Exactly. Like, all of that. Yeah. Just, you know, you get comfortable and you kind of start looking for what's next and where can I grow? And, you know, this company has the coolest stories, the coolest products, the coolest relationships with the best distillers. So I just
Well, and a pretty good
board.
Deal of cachet, right? Because like I mentioned before, when this stuff launched, like, the nerds, and I'm not talking about just all the big nerds.
Yeah.
They really came gunning for it.
Yeah.
They were hungry.
Yeah, they're excited.
Like, these are guys who had probably traveled either to Haiti or to Italy or in Europe, where you said it was already released.
Yeah.
Just to get some and bring it back. And
totally.
Now it's here. So they're
exactly.
stoked.
Yeah.
And speaking of here, how here are you? You're just here in New York so far? Or?
Just here in New York. We'll expand beyond the New York market when we're ready. We don't have any solid plans to do so yet, but when...
Is it based on production?
Based on...
Or just the sticky red tape crazy laws we have in America?
No, just kind of based on how it goes. You know, right now in New York, it's just me and Daniele, my partner here. So kind of as we grow and feel like New York is in a good place for us to expand, we'll do that. But it's really just based on feeling.
Yeah. I have a question, and this is not like to be like any kind of like gotcha moment or anything like that. I'm interested in it. So I'm wondering like what the perception is from Haitians for a brand coming out with Clarin and like exporting it now.
Yeah.
Like, is that something that people are like the
are they prideful about it or
are they embracing
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I mean,
I know there's a lot of like there's a lot of action and activity in Haiti as far as like bringing different rums and stuff out of the country and more awareness of Haiti as a country.
Sure.
So it's yeah, I was just wondering if that's something like is like socially and economically if that's something like I don't know where that stands. So
yeah, they're excited about it. We actually had two of our producers up here as well for our launch party. We had Faubert Casimir and Michel Sejus up here from Haiti to be with us in New York to launch their Clarin in New York.
With their names on the bottle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the other thing that I really love is that Clarin is the category, but we're, you know, they're the protagonist. It's not about us. We're just the liaison between the still and the bottle. So it's called Clarin Sejus. Sejus is Michel Sejus from the town of Saint-Michel d'Atelier. Faubert Casimir is from Baradere, so it's Clarin Casimir. So it's about them. It's not about us. We put all of the details of what they're doing. But I think that at first they didn't quite understand why two crazy Italian guys would want to bottle their local distiller.
You mean distiller?
Two regular Italian guys.
Two regular Italian guys.
Probably very handsome, well-dressed Italian dudes.
Sure.
Double-breasted suits.
Yeah.
The Haitian heat.
Yeah, yeah.
Roll up in a Jeep. Yes. Hi, we want your liquid.
Yeah.
Exposed ankles, like driving loafers. I get it.
But now I think that they're
knuckleless
super
leather driving bad. Gloves.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. Okay.
Yeah, sorry. We're painting a picture. Sorry.
It's for our listeners.
No, but now they're super proud of it. They're excited. I mean, to have their name on a glass bottle and a beautiful label
and
is cool.
As far away as Europe and of course, and now in New York City, that's gotta be some kind of point.
All-star chair, man.
It does. Like, for better or for worse, it really does. You know, like we're the epicenter of a whole bunch of junk. I think the West Coast has us on technology, but we got fashion, we got food trends, we got booze trends, we got the stuff.
It's all starting here.
Yeah, that's great.
Now you got Clarin.
Yeah.
And
also, I want to say thank you for bringing it in because it's awesome.
It's so delicious.
I have it in my bar. And
super unique. Yeah. I believe Jane picked it up at both Mother and CN, right?
Great, yeah.
Which is connected to my bar, but I don't have it on my bar, but it's delicious and super cool. And again, the nerds are out, which means, you know, our listeners should perk up their ears and get out too, because if you're here in New York, come find it. If you're not here in New York, read up about it and expect it to come your way soon. Do you have some social media outlets you'd like to plug? We're getting towards the end here.
Yeah, our website is thespiritofhaiti.com. You can find us on Instagram and Facebook, both at thespiritofhaiti.com.
Cool.
Yeah.
You have three bottles here from three different producers. I'm assuming that you're going to have some more coming out in the near future, right?
Yeah, we have a fourth one coming out this year. I mean, the dream is someday to have 30 different producers. The experience of that.
We should just open a Clarin bar.
Yes.
Why not?
Yes.
I mean,
Clarin pop up.
I wasn't joking.
Oh, okay. Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah.
Great.
Like.
I mean, if you're going to have that many marks in the system, you know.
You got that many marks. Yeah. You got that much variance in production style. You got that much variance in, you said there's 100 different varieties of sugarcane. Like, this is a category that sounds like it's going to be huge on its own.
It's amazing. Yeah. I like to go into mezcal bars and daydream that it's a Clarin bar someday. You know, all the different kinds.
Totally. I mean, to be honest, it's been really cool for us having it in Grand Army because, like, we're an oyster bar, and it goes really, really
with seafood oysters. And oysters. Yeah.
Like, it's great, and the entire staff, everyone's just so psyched about it.
Awesome.
And so, like last night, I get to work with my buddy Henry O, and
Henry O,
he was just like, he was talking to a couple of people who were hanging out there, and he pulled out all three of the bottles and was just like, you got to try all three of these. And we're just like pouring it for people. Just like,
that's amazing. I love it.
Yeah.
Actually, so. I've had people reach out to me saying that they tried it at Grand Army
oh, cool.
and fell in love and where can they get it? And yeah.
All happens here, man.
Yeah. It all does happen.
It's all because of you.
It all does happen here.
Cool, man. Well,
you're such a gracious host. Katie, do you have any social media of your own you want to promote so they can follow you on Instagram or anything like that? I have it here if you don't want to.
Yeah.
Okay.
As you like.
No, you do it. What's your Instagram? People should follow you.
Yeah, my Instagram is When in Rum.
When in Rum, R-H-U-M. Get it?
How'd you get that?
So funny.
Wow.
Are you a big fan of the song The Promise, the only song that the band When in Rum had that went anywhere?
No.
Can you
we
even
play it?
Do you know who I'm talking about?
No.
Dave, can you find that? The Promise by When in Rum. You'll recognize it right away.
Was that Echo and the Bunny Man?
No, it was When in Rum. I'm telling okay. you, man.
Didn't Sturgill Simpson
don't test
that?
Me, boy.
That was Sturgill Simpson's first.
I've had just enough Claret.
Side one, track
one. Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah,
I'm
yeah.
Sorry,
Sturgill
but I'm
did
just
that.
Thinking yep. of the yeah. right word to say.
That's play the Sturgill about. Version. Or yeah, that's we're going to get sued.
yeah. So
we're 501c3.
Kate, so great to have you in the studio today, talking to us about this amazing and exciting new category. Well, not new category, but new to the United
new
States.
New to us, yeah.
It's super cool.
Yeah, it's been around for hundreds of years.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
New to us. Yeah, thanks so much for having me. This has been great.
Isn't that cool though? Like something that's been around for centuries.
And it's just and finally it's getting to us. Yeah.
Yeah. It's cool, man.
We think we think we know everything.
Yeah. But that's the thing. We
don't know shit.
We don't know shit, man. And we get to keep learning.
That's
it's
the
very
best part.
Exciting.
If there's anything great about life, it's that. And thanks also for Kimmy Winkler hanging out with us in the studio.
Thanks.
You guys are cheersing over there. I want to talk about what's upcoming, and then I want to talk about one small thing on the side, too. So, first of all, Matt Resler, I'm going to check for the Tiki God. Matt thinks this thing is a Tiki God, by the way. The piping or the ducting up there. I'm going to go look at it afterwards. Anyway, shows that are coming up and not limited to what I'm going to say, but all this stuff is coming up. We got Angus Winchester's going to be on soon. He's going to talk about the Brooklyn Bar Convent that's going to be here in Brooklyn.
That's going to be very exciting.
He's kind of the leader of the thing. So, yeah, he's going to be good to talk to. We got Miles coming on from Scrappy's Bitters. I'm going to have a lot of cool stuff to talk to him about.
Oh, plus I got questions for that guy.
Plus, he's going to bring us some stuff for the bar, some bitters, great. I hope. And some great. Of those, he does, I don't know if you know this, but he makes those ready-to-drink cocktails. In fact, he makes the Kimmy's Nova Fogo Cachaça Caipirinha, sparkling Caipirinha.
And
he's from Seattle.
Yay.
Oh, actually.
A lot of tie-ins.
Kimmy, we got to talk after the show about this because I'm doing one of the cocktails for our friends with a packaged cocktail.
Oh, Shaker and Spoon.
Shaker and Spoon, yeah.
Oh, awesome. It's a fun time. You're
I'm doing a
time.
Cachaça drink.
You're gonna, oh, that's right. You're going to have a great time doing that.
Awesome.
I still stand by my, you know, no offense to Clarin. I still stand by my prediction that I made back in December. 2018 is the year of cachaça.
Yay!
Anyway, upcoming, Colin, Cocktail Colin. You know, I can never pronounce his last name. Appia? I don't know how to You know Colin.
Yeah.
Cocktail Colin's going to be on the show. He agreed to do it. Photographer Eric Metzger. He was the guy who photographed the book Wiley Dufresne's new cookbook that was nominated for an IACP award. He also photographed my book. Hey, what do you know? We got Giancarlo Mancino coming from Mancino Vermouth. Natasha David from Nightcap is coming up. We got a lot of great shows coming up.
Man.
And then one thing I want to mention on the side, I'm involved in a project called Happy Hour History. It's going to be a web series that is featuring some Monty Python-esque graphics, some historical footage and photos, as well as some skit comedy where we tie a cocktail to history. And it's a 30-minute video show on a web series. We're looking for funding right now. We have an Indiegogo up already, Happy Hour History. Go check it out at Indiegogo. There's a clip you can check out about what the show's going to look like, and maybe you'll feel like donating to us. We're about halfway to our goal right now, so it looks like it's going to happen, but we can still use your support. So that's all
cool.
I got, buddy.
Sounds good, man.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, check that out for sure. I can't wait to check it out. This is the first I'm hearing of it, man.
Yeah,
that's
you know,
what I get for being out of town for
a
couple weeks.
Yeah, you were gone. I was gone. Like, you know, it's all good.
Well, now we're back.
I listened to last week's show. How do you have that ready?
Yeah, seriously, man. What the fuck are you doing in there, Dave?
Nothing.
He's the best.
Clearly, you don't have enough to do. That sounds great, man.
Thank you. It's gonna be fun. Hopefully, we can get it funded and it'll get off the ground and be a good thing.
Cool, man. Well, I think that's it for the Speakeasy this week. Thanks to Kate and Kimmy for coming in the show today. I love Clarin. Everyone, if you can get your hands on it, check out Clarin. I mean, it's if you love Rome, if you love agriculture, if you love like any kind of funky weird stuff, this stuff is awesome. And it's like, it's actually very, very, very interesting, but at the same time, very easy to use. So, yeah,
agreed.
Yeah, totally.
Katie, so, just real quick, do you know by chance if they've picked it up at Astor Wine and Spirits yet?
Astor has it, yeah.
So Astor Wine and Spirits has it for all those who don't live in New York. You know, they do delivery. So they'll ship it to you. Not every state, of course, but the states they can get it to, you can get it.
Yep, they're crushing it too.
Yeah, yeah. I'm
they're
certain.
Awesome.
Cool. Well, I look forward to, this has been a great show, but I look forward to all the stuff we have coming up. And all right. So if you're out there, go to heritageradionetwork.org to the website. Click on the beating heart to donate to the show so we can continue to bring you shows like this one and all the other cool stuff that we're doing with the station. And again, we need a cutting board. So if anyone out there has
stay tuned, stay tuned for our registry.
Yeah.
The bamboo cutting board.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Until next week, this has been The Speakeasy. I'm Damon Bolte.
My name is Souther Teague.
Cheers, y'all.
Cheers, guys. Thank you so much.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll load. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil wants his groove in them rhythm and blues. That's him. It's gonna get you some in the end.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network. Food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at @heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.